Hello, welcome back. We are your hostess with the mostest. I am Sarah.
I'm Delaney.
And we are Lumos Maxima. And oh my gosh, you guys, this week's episode is so exciting because it's all about the next movie in our beloved franchise. And if you're not hyped for Crimes of Grindelwald, go away, because you are not worthy of young Dumbledore, who has been affectionately nicknamed Dumbledam, because... Yeah. He's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Which, I gotta say, when I was reading, like, the original Harry Potter series, I just never imagined Dumbledore as an attractive young fella.
Oh, I did.
I didn't. I kind of imagined him as, like, he wasn't unattractive in my head, but I guess the kookiness of his older age just never, he just was never attractive in my head. But, obviously, Jude Law. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyways, we are going to do our not Harry Potter, but very Harry Potter magical episode dedicated all to the wonderful wizarding world pre-Potter. We're super excited about this. We're going to talk a little bit about Fantastic Beasts. Actually, we're going to talk all about Fantastic Beasts and then also talk a little bit more about what's dropping soon, because we've kind of done a couple episodes ago, we did our predictions for Crimes of Grindelwald, but we've had some special stuff drop since then. So we're going to kind of brief through that a little bit. As a preface, Delaney loves Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah.
She loved the movie. I was not that crazy about it, but I think we're both excited for, like, young Dumbledore, romance, original Wizarding War, young Hogwarts professors, like, the whole nine. So,
I'm excited for that.
I was not excited when they announced that they were going to do a Fantastic Beasts movie series. And then when the first installment was put out, I was like, yeah, this is, like, so lame, but I am so hyped because I already love and adore these characters. So
yeah, and so I've been hyped.
Yeah, for, like, I was like, man, I hope that they go somewhere else with this series, because I'm not watching four more movies like this.
And I was like, I will watch four more movies like this. Yes, but I'm even more excited about the direction that they're taking.
Yeah, I like the direction that they're taking. I think hopefully Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was just a good foundational movie.
I think now
they will go in a very tangential direction away from it.
LOL.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just a little bit about what's going on this week. Oh, also as a side note, if we find out that any of our listeners are the douche knuckles on the internet spoiling Crimes of Grindelwald for people, I will hunt you down. And I will murder you, because that's some bullshit if I ever heard some. I hate people who do that. Not everyone can go and see the movie early release or the night it comes out. Just, like, be fucking chill, guys.
Yeah, for real.
Don't post any spoilers on our social media. Don't send us spoilers. I don't want to see you posting spoilers. If I see it, we will never let you listen to the podcast again. We will block you from everything, because that's some bullshit. So.
Yeah, agreed.
Don't be that guy.
Yep, just don't be him.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, before we get into our discussion all about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, we are first going to dive into our pensieve for some corrections. So last week, we were wondering and a little unsure if the Animagus chooses their form. We thought the Marauders did for some reason, but, like, we were a little confused on it. So I went afterwards and made sure. So they cannot choose it. It is something that is just like a Patronus. It kind of chooses its own form based on you as a person, which makes sense, because James's Patronus is a stag and Sirius is a black dog, and then Lupin's Patronus acts the same way. He's not an Animagus, but it acts the same way of, like, he's a werewolf, so his Patronus is a wolf. So as an Animagus, it acts similar to a Patronus.
Yeah, which makes sense then when we think about the other ones. It's like Rita Skeeter is a beetle.
Yeah.
Like, no one would pick to be a beetle.
Right.
But she's just kind of a little bit of a bug. And then, like, Peter is a rat.
Right.
That kind of thing.
To mention Peter.
The biggest difference that I have found with people between a Patronus and an Animagus is that your Patronus, although they are generally very personal, you can have more than one. So later in life, if you go through, like, a traumatic event or a happy event, like, your Patronus can mirror that. Once you become an Animagus, whatever that form is, that's pretty much it. I haven't seen in all the reading I've done of instances where people were, like, one thing at one point and then one thing at another, or they have, like, more than one form, because it's incredibly difficult to be an Animagus. We've talked about it. We know it took the Marauders almost 3 years of like consistent effort to become ones. So it's, you get one, and then whatever it is, it's like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense. And then the next one is, we had mentioned Xylomancy, and for some reason in my brain, I was like, I thought I heard Queenie talk about it. Well, Queenie didn't talk about it, but it was in Fantastic Beasts, but it was like just mentioned in a newspaper, which is like super lame to even say that it's in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
When it's just, I mean, mentioned in like a headline.
Xylomancy in general seems kind of lame to me.
It does. Yeah.
If you guys remember from our last episode, which was the Hogwarts classes episode, Xylomancy used to be an elective at Hogwarts. It's a branch, branch of divination that deals with using twigs to tell the future and make predictions. And it just sounds so, it sounds so like Louisiana voodoo to me.
Yeah, it does.
Like you
it
put the chicken bones and you shake them and then whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. Yep. So anyways, Xylomancy is out. Divination's in. We're modern bitches. We wouldn't do divination either. Just if you guys didn't listen to the last episode, there are several classes we wouldn't take. Oh, that's one of them.
Yep.
And then, not a correction, but in addition, we had some listener input from our overrated and underrated. And we mentioned after the fact that we totally didn't talk about Tonks half enough. Our listener, shout out to Rachel, love you, baby, was saying that we, pretty much everyone loves Tonks. It's hard not to. She's got an infectious personality. She's fun. She's one of the only, like, not serious adults.
Right.
And we love her because she brings a lot of happiness to Lupin. Obviously, everyone loves Lupin. But what people tend to forget is that she is a very modern mirror for Lily. She's a girl in the Order, one of the few who is romantically involved with a marauder who leaves a child motherless after a wizarding war. And there are a lot of ways that I think people feel familiarity with her character and maybe have a hard time putting their finger on it. But there is definitely a kinship between Lily Potter and Tonks. So that was her input, which I thought was very apt.
For sure.
I never look at Tonks that way, mostly because we don't know a whole lot about Lily's personality. Right. I mean, obviously we know that she was like a good person and a nice person, but like we know Tonks is funny and that she's got kind of just an infectious sense of humor. And I mean, I would assume that Lily was probably funny in some way, but I probably not like Tonks. So I've never really made that connection in that way, but there are a lot of striking similarities between the two women, especially like down to who they were married to, what they leave behind. Just some good input on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
And now our weekly wizarding question. This is not my best question, guys. It was just something that I was thinking about when I was taking a shower. Because I was like, man, it would be so cool to be fucking old. We are about to see young Dumbledore. We know that Dumbledore lives a long time, but also dies before his time. So I want to know, how long do wizards live? Like, what is the average lifespan? We know that they live a lot longer than humans. And we know that they commonly live well over 100. We know that some have lived over 600 years, but it was with the Sorcerer's Stone. But like, how long does the average wizard live? And what keeps them living so long? What about wizards makes them live longer than humans do?
Yeah.
I would assume it's something to do with the magic. But then, like, can their magic run out? Is that why... You know, like if a wizard dies from quote unquote natural causes, is it because like the magic inside of them has just run its course and then they die?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that would be the only way, right?
I mean, obviously wizards can be killed by other wizards and by curses. And then there are wizards who die from diseases like dragon pox and stuff. And then there are wizards who die in tragic magic accidents. But I've never heard of a wizard die of like a stabbing.
Exactly.
You know?
I've also never heard of a wizard dying of just old age.
Right. I don't really know, because like all the Hogwarts ghosts. Well, no, because there's a Hogwarts professor who falls asleep at his desk and then just dies.
Right. But like we don't know like.
But yeah, really did he have a, can he have a heart attack and die? I don't know. But
right.
It seems like we Well, a lot of people die in this series, so everyone we meet that's dead died in some tragic way. True. Or some barbaric way. But, oh, you know, I mean, nearly had this Nick. He died because he got axed. So that's not a natural cause. But
I guess the only one that we really see kind of die of, as I guess you could say, natural causes is, Sorcerer Stone. What's his name? Damn it.
We're going to have to be way more specific than Sorcerer Stone.
The guy who created the goddamn thing.
Oh, Nicholas Flamel? He doesn't die of natural causes, though.
Yeah, he does, because he stops using the stone, so he dies.
Right, so then he dies because he doesn't have magic. So I'm thinking that somehow magic has, like, a finite... It can live within one body for X amount of time. And it's, like, roughly a couple hundred years. And then... So, I mean, is there only so much magic in the world? So someone has to die before someone else can get magic? I don't know.
Maybe.
This is some weird, like, Mother Earth will supply us all tangent we're going down. But anyways, if you guys know how long wizards live, which I'm sure I could Google it, but that's not fun. I want to know if you guys know it. Or if you've ever read anything about JK talking about, like, the transition of magic, if magic can only live in a body for so long or whatever it is, hit us up. I want to know.
Same.
Also, I'm eating a mug brownie while I'm recording, so if you hear me snacking in the background, I'm sorry. I tried to put the microphone really far away from my face. If you hear me, like, it's my brownie. I've had a really long week, okay, guys? I deserve a mug brownie.
I agree, and, you know, priorities.
Priorities, yeah. Delaney was like, we really need to record. I was like, maybe I need to eat a brownie. So... we have been waiting to do this episode. We've wanted to do it actually since before we started the podcast, but we've been waiting to do it so that we could wait until the last possible moment to let people see the movies, because obviously this is the newest in the JK line, but we didn't want to spoil anything for anyone. That's also why we will not be doing a Crimes of Grindelwald episode until much later on. It'll be well within 2019 before we even touch it, because we want to give people opportunities to know all about it, see it, love it first. But we have given you years to watch Fantastic Beasts, so it's time for us to get into the movie, the characters, the creatures, the stories. It's a good one. I feel like they set up five, because they're going to do five pieces,
right?
So I feel like they set it up really well with Fantastic Beasts. So I didn't love the first one, but I think the next four have the potential to be really great. So
yeah,
that's pretty exciting.
I agree. I think it was definitely more of a setup movie. I don't think that it would be that great if it lived alone.
No.
but I still really like it. But so in honor of Crimes of Grindelwald coming out this week, pretty exciting. We're going to go ahead and dive into the background and summary of Fantastic Beasts in general, so that we can then talk about a little bit more specifics. So, as we said, you may not know, but there's a whole five-part Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them series.
And oh my god, when they said that, I was like, what the fuck? You have so many characters and books you can choose, and you choose this little tiny... Oh my god.
Yeah, but then once I found out that it's really going to be transitioning more into the first Wizarding War, I was pumped.
Yeah, it's not... It should be... It's not Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the series. It's like... Dumbledore, the series.
pretty much. So this specific movie is based in the 1920s, where Newt Scamander is on his quest to study and care for all these really, really random magical creatures from all over the world in order to write a book to educate the magical world on how these creatures act and how to care for them properly.
Yeah, so he's a magizoologist, which is a profession that I would not enjoy, but basically... take, like, Hagrid's Care of Magical Creatures and put it on steroids, and that's what he does for a living.
Pretty much.
And we know from the movies that Newt Scamander is actually a good friend of Dumbledore, and Dumbledore kind of facilitates him traveling around the world to, like, collect characters, basically.
Yeah.
And if you don't know where they pulled this random-ass piece of information from... it was one of the textbooks that Harry had to buy in his first year. And it literally pops up one time, I think.
Yes,
in
once.
Sorcerer's Stone. Once. And it's on the like letter that they've been sent. It's their textbook list.
And
so
it.
I had to go back and reread and be like, where the fuck did they get this from?
Yeah.
So it's pretty obscure. It's a whole different world. We are obviously very familiar with European magic, Hogwarts-esque, modern timed stuff. So not only are we going back like over 60 years, but we're also going to America, much more specifically. We're going to New York, which is like, eek. And it's a whole different time. Like it's a lot earlier in wizarding culture. And so one, there's an even bigger stigma on magical creatures, which we find out right away. He sneaks them into the country. And America has outlawed ownership and trade of magical creatures. And he's like very specifically looking for a breeder of a very specific creature. And that's why he comes to New York. And that causes really big problems for him because they're like, oh, we've shut that guy down. So Newt takes a big ship. I don't know why I can't think the word ship. And he is trying to return creatures, actually, this time in Arizona, and then also pick up some other creatures. And he's trying to bring back the Thunderbird. So if you guys kind of remember some of your American house wizarding stuff, Thunderbird is one of the houses at Ilvermorny. But, you know, obviously something has to go wrong. It's a movie. All the creatures get out in New York, which is bad because they're not nice. And the U.S. magical people, whose name I can't remember.
Makuza.
Thank you. Makuza. That's lame. They yeah, also call muggles nomadges.
Which is also lame.
That's lame. But anyways, Makuza is like not about it. And it ends up causing all sorts of problems to them. Which, I mean, he's got a case full of monsters. And it's not like, oh, he's got like four or five. He's got like the Hermione bag briefcase yeah. kind of thing. And he's literally got like hundreds of illegal creatures in his bag.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it probably wasn't a great idea, but, you know, cue chaos, you know, as per usual in the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
That's nothing new. So during Newt's Monster Mania, which I came up with as an alliteration, he ends up getting involved not only in all of, like, the kind of dirty back scenes of, like, all the animal stuff, but he also gets involved with the fight against the original big bad Gellert Grindelwald. So Grindelwald escaped Europe after spreading terror and extremism and hopped the pond over to America. So mm-hmm. we know that Grindelwald is very extreme, like, and kind of the original Voldy. He did not like muggles. He didn't mm-mm. like the mixing of like the birth line, and he was always out for power and the Elder Wand.
Yeah, so he was really big on dark magic. He actually went to Durmstrang. And they yeah. kicked him out. And Durmstrang is, like, as dark as it gets. And it's because he wouldn't cop. He, like, just kept tagging the bathroom walls with his symbol, mm-hmm. which you guys will recognize when we talk about it here in a minute. But they kicked him out for being too dark.
Like, yeah.
You know so. It's bad when ...
Yeah, exactly. No joke. And so the original big bad, this guy who got kicked out of the bad place because he was too bad, ends up infiltrating the Magical Congress of the United States, which is what MACUSA stands for. Stupid.
Stupid. So stupid.
It's so stupid. But he infiltrates, and guess what? He ends up being the head of, like, magical law enforcement, which is really cool.
Which, like, so I just want to talk about this. So this is my first biggest plot hole. I know that he's supposed to be like a very talented wizard and stuff, but, like, this is the same thing I had a hard time with. I feel like she's, you know how JK recycles things? I feel like she's recycling Barty Crouch Jr. / Moody with mm-hmm. this, because he takes Polyjuice Potion, he becomes someone that nobody knows.
It's never said that he takes
Polyjuice. It's never said that he takes it. Or either that, or he's mastered the art of making himself look like someone else.
I think it's that one.
Like, no one background checks this dude. He doesn't exist.
Yeah,
he isn't a real person, and he's literally large and in charge. Know. Well, yeah, they know enough to shut down backroom illegal animal trades.
Barely,
yeah. But anyways, that's just, like, that's my first plot hole. Like, no one fucking realizes it. Really?
Yeah, no. But I do want to say something that random that I rewatched the movie today, so I can have it, like, fresh in my mind, and I realized that like, this is during the 1920s, so it's during Prohibition, but it's not Prohibition for the magical world. Because no. At the beginning in the newspaper, sure, they're showing ads for Gilly Water.
Mm-hmm.
Gilly Water? Giggle Water?
Giggle Water.
Is it Giggle Water?
Yeah, it's Giggle Water.
I'm thinking Gillyweed. Giggle Water.
Giggle Water. Yes. So Prohibition ended up, Prohibition cultivates the situation that Newt ends up getting into. Because his whole thing is, like, he's doing back alley trades and stuff looking for these different creatures. It just goes hand in hand with Prohibition. So I think, at least in terms of movie device, they did a good job with making that, like, fit together, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Sort of, except that it's, like, more of, like, the wizarding world is going through a prohibition of magical creatures, where, like, the, like, muggle or nomad, sorry, world is going through, like, the prohibition of alcohol. So, I don't know. It's weird. It's all weird. Anyways, so during the whole process, Grindelwald, aka, I can't remember the guy he pretends to be his name, he befriends, and by friends, I mean manipulates, a poor abused, I think he's a teenager.
Yeah, he's a teenager. I'd say, like, young teenager.
Yeah, named Credence, who is a creepy-looking guy.
Creepy.
Super creepy. And Grindelwald believes that Credence can help him befriend, or aka enslave, a child who we later find out is an Obscurial. Now, I had to look this up. I want to make a quick note that an Obscurus is a manifestation of a repressed energy of a magical child, and that magical child with the Obscurus is an Obscurial.
Yes.
I had to look up the difference, so that is the difference.
The Obscurus is just the magic. Yeah, but the Obscurial is the kid who has the Obscurus inside of it.
Right, because the Obscurus kind of acts like a parasite, and it's just the dark magic that's from repression, but the Obscurial, is the child. Mm-hmm. So, and it's usually a child, and it doesn't, like, grow very old, but plot twist.
And, it doesn't grow old. Newt says it, like, maybe 5 years old. Like, it happens really quickly, and they have a really difficult time keeping them alive.
Right. And he says, I think the the oldest one he ever saw was like a 10-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. But
Newt's walking around with one in his case.
Well, he took the Obscurus from the Obscurus.
From the girl. Yeah, he's just got an Obscurus now.
Right. So, but Credence ends up being this Obscurial, and he's like the oldest living one that we've ever seen, at least as far as we know right now.
Mm-hmm. They jam a lot into this movie. That kind of wraps it up. Basically, Credence has been killing people this whole time, but we didn't know it's Credence. It's kind of weird because Credence is part of a anti-witch and wizard society by force. It's also kind of weird because Tina has a connection to Credence. We haven't mentioned Tina yet in this, but Tina she works for Makusa, and she, like, brings Newt in, but she's, like, kind of in trouble with work for doing something, and she has a relationship with Credence, so Newt and Tina try to talk Credence down. At this point, Credence is just, like, a big ball of energy, and he's, like, basically fucking up NYC.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out because Grindelwald is in disguise, and he wants to take Credence, and then he's not in disguise, and then Credence blows up. But then we see a little piece of him floating away. And then Grindelwald is in prison, but not really, because obviously he's out in this next movie. So Makusa's bad at their job.
Yeah, basically. Pretty much.
Like, they literally cannot get anything right.
Yeah.
But that's basically what happens. Like, things do not get left. Things get left in what seems like a good place, but it's not a good place.
Not really.
And the only, I think, good thing is that we end up meeting some really cool characters and some creatures. And then there's also some, like, really fun Easter eggs. And we get a lot of magical history, which is fun. Because we would get little tidbits in the Harry Potter series, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot. But we do definitely get some good tidbits. So we're going to talk about the characters a little bit. I only like one of them.
So that's cool. So first, it's only natural that we start with Newt Scamander, because, he wrote the book. So as we said, he's a British magizoologist, went to Hogwarts, and was sorted to Hufflepuff, which, first Easter egg, we know because he's wearing a Hufflepuff scarf, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he's an animal lover, and Hagrid probably worships the ground he walks on.
And also we're pretty sure at some point that Hagrid's creatures are from Newt.
Yeah.
Which would be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah. But he was a student of Dumbledore's, and Newt ended up getting expelled for, quote, endangering the lives of students. And then good old Dumbledore stands up for him and tries to get him not expelled, which I don't think we ever really see yet if he actually got expelled or if it happened or if he was able to stay. Anyways. But what I have seen is that from what
I'm confident that Newt was expelled and that he didn't finish school. I think I've seen them tweet that.
Except that in his book, he says that he's a graduate of Hogwarts. So, you know. But from what I can tell, he was expelled because his childhood love, Leta Lestrange, was conducting some not-so-legal experiments on animals, and he took the blame for it.
Yeah.
So, also, he has an older brother that we hear in the first movie being called a war hero, but then that's all we get from it. But then we see in the second movie that his brother's gonna be brought up, and I think there's gonna be some family tension there.
I think so, because he never talks positively about his brother.
No.
In the first movie. I don't even know what his brother's name is.
It's like, I think it's like Theseus, but do not quote me on that. I'm not 100.
Yeah, well, he sounds like a dick. Right? yeah. And
also Newt's commander ends up falling in love with Tina, that we see a little bit in the first movie, and then spoiler, I don't know, it's out there already, it's been out there for a long time, he marries her. Eventually.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, dude. They get married.
What?
Yeah. And then
guys, the lady sucks. She's spoiling everything.
That's not a spoiler. That's been out forever and a day.
No, that is absolutely a spoiler. That was not in the movie.
No, but it's been out there forever and a day. It's been out there before the movie started. It was like just part of Newt's biography.
Gross.
Yeah. And other little fun fact, Luna Lovegood marries Newt's and descendant, just mm-hmm. saying, which makes sense.
Yes. So then we have Tina Goldstein, who was a member of the magical law enforcement. Something happens about, she gets in some sort of trouble. That part never made sense to me. She does something that gets her suspended. So she still works for MACUSA, but she's not magical law enforcement, which is like their... like kind of aura.
Yeah.
Like sort of.
So what she does to get in trouble is she's talking to Credence and trying to protect him, and then his mother like goes to beat him, and then Tina uses magic on a nomad, which is a big no-no. So yeah, she gets demoted.
Whatever. She's really overzealous about her job like all the time. Obviously, she's in trouble with her job, so she's a tryhard.
She is. It's kind of annoying.
She spends a lot of the first 90% of the movie trying to prove herself as worthy and that she should have her job back. She does end up being a good person. We find out she really does care about doing what's right, so she's a little more chill, but she's still kind of annoying. She has siblings that are fucking awesome.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that we'll get a little more Tina background, because, and I think I've said this before, we don't get enough background for her annoying to be justified.
I agree.
She's got the year one Hermione annoying.
She does.
But without the 7-book development. So.
Right. We don't see any development in the first movie with her. So.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So.
But the cool sister is Queenie, who I think literally everybody likes Queenie. Honestly,
I like Queenie.
Yeah,
that's what matters.
Yeah, okay. But what's cool is that she happens to be I can never pronounce this. I say that about everything. Legilimens. She can read minds. Okay, she can read minds, and she can extract feelings and memories from another's mind, which is pretty cool. And we find out instantly, and Newt puts it together quickly, which I definitely wouldn't have. But you know, she doesn't really care about her career or really anything. But it appears this one was the thing that I thought was interesting. It appears that nobody else, at least at work, knows about her powers, because there are a couple moments, like one time where, she's trying to get Jacob so that they won't obliviate him. And, she threatens to out this guy's affair. And he's like, how do you know that? How do you know that? Nobody understands how she does these things. So I don't think anybody else knows that she can do this.
Which makes me think, I mean, I know that it's really rare to be able to do it, but, like, is it that rare that nobody's like, ooh, it's weird that she knows everything. Maybe she can read minds.
I think it is super, super rare. And I think it's probably extremely valuable, and it's probably dangerous to be that level of being able to read people's minds. Like, you could be used. So I feel like that's why they're hiding it. I don't know.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can learn to read people's minds.
Right. But to have it naturally, it might be, like, a power that, like, can be used. I don't know. But we know that not many people know that she can do that. So, also, Queenie ends up falling in love with the nomad, Jacob, who we all love. Jacob gets roped into everything. And, but Queenie's cool.
Queenie is cool. The big deal about her falling in love with Jacob is that it is illegal in the United States at this time for wizards to have relationships with or marry nomadges.
Yeah.
Like illegal, not like frowned upon, not like society's not cool with it sometimes, but like
illegal.
Like they'll make you disappear illegal, which is something that Tina's constantly throughout the movie being like, Queenie, you can't do that. Queenie, no. Queenie's like, that's not fair. But anyways, Jacob Kowalski is a nomad who was literally just minding his own business. He was trying to get a loan to open a bakery. He's retired military, and he accidentally swaps briefcases with Newt waiting in the lobby. And Newt's like, oh, this isn't right. And Jacob ends up getting bitten by one of the creatures, and they have to take him to Tina's and try and fix him. But it ends up that Jacob's really cool and just kind of fun to be around. So he and Newt do become friends, and he gets involved in the adventure. He obviously falls in love with Queenie, and they have a very tentative relationship at the time that we see them on screen. At the end of everything, they basically make it rain oblivion on the townspeople of New York, and Jacob is included in that, but Jacob still remembers bits and pieces. I think it's kind of like waking up from a dream. You don't remember everything, but you'll remember, like, oh, that's weird. You know, I kind of remember stuff. But he bakes pastries in the shape of all Newt's creatures.
Yeah,
which is really cute. And at the very end, Queenie goes into the bakery, and Jacob kind of gives her a look like, hey, I've seen you somewhere.
Yeah, and he rubs the bite marks of the creature that's, like, still a scar.
So
I think something was done, because Queenie kissed him right before he went into the Obliviate Rain thingy. I think she did something, which I'm all here for. I'm excited to still have Jacob.
I don't think she did. I think that to obliviate someone, it erases their memory, but it can't erase the innate feeling that you get from those people, because there are instances in the Harry Potter books where people have been obliviated. Like, one, you can restore things, but two, like, you would still see someone, even if they had obliviated you, and think, God, you look so familiar. Like, that's so weird. Yeah. So I think maybe he had, like, little bits and pieces that didn't get obliviated. But
maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if we'll ever get an answer to that, but anyhow. So what's cool is that all of these characters, including Jacob, are going to come back for the second movie, along with characters we already know, like Grindelwald, Dumbledore, and what we're so excited about, McGonagall.
I'm so hyped for her.
They just announced that
oh my God.
That's in the casting, and I'm so excited, but also slightly confused, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
I'm trying to figure out how old she is, because,
well,
is it going to be student McGonagall? Is it Professor McGonagall? Do we know?
No, we don't, but, or at least I don't know. I don't think so, but I guess we can get into it now. If she's a professor, it doesn't make any sense, because JK specifically said that she was not a professor yet at this time period when JK did her biography on Pottermore. So I don't know how they're going to be doing it.
Yeah, so she doesn't start teaching until December of 1956.
Right. And clearly this is the 20s. So
this has got to be school-age McGonagall.
That'd be very cool. That would be incredibly cool.
Yeah. So. Which is cool. And then obviously we know we're going to meet Nagini as a human-esque. And I'm hoping we're going to meet other people too, but we'll talk about it in a minute. Yeah. So in addition to characters, which obviously were fun, we got to see creatures and a much more condensed amount of creatures in a short amount of time than the Harry Potter series. Harry Potter series, you get like one, maybe two a book.
Yeah.
We had like 30.
This was like a fire hose of all
the creatures. There's just all the creatures. And we've got some favorites.
Yeah, we do. So my favorites, I think the Niffler and the Demi guys are really cool. So the Niffler is that platypus looking thing that's like a thief of all things shiny, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that. He's funny. He has like, you know, some comedic qualities. And then I also like the Demi guys because it's the white monkey looking thing that can mm-hmm. turn invisible and see the future. I think it's interesting that it can see the future.
Yeah, but like, also useless because you can't communicate with it.
I know, but and it's invisible, so it's like I don't know what its purpose is, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. But the Thunderbird is probably my favorite. It's very majestic, and I like that it can control the weather. It's pretty cool, pretty cool. And obviously, it becomes a big plot device at the end there. So,
I guess the reason that Demi guys are so cool is because the hair can be made into cloaks of invisibility.
Oh, didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And the only way to capture them is to do something totally unpredictable because they are able to see the future.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Interesting. And then my favorite, I thought the Niffler was cute, but also very annoying. He needs therapy.
I like it.
But my favorite was the Bow Truckle, which was the kind of like a stick bug creature. They're cute, but they're also super useful. These guys guard trees that wands are made from. So they guard magical wood products. Mm-hmm. They're really tiny, but they'll gouge people's eyes out.
Yeah.
If they get too close to the trees. And the only way to remove it is to calm the creature completely by offering it wood lice, which, gross. But more specifically, Newt has one. Its name is Picket, which I just think is so cute because it picks locks.
Yeah, I know. So, it's so cute.
That was his super buddy. Yeah. But yeah, I thought the Bow Truckle was really cool. I also thought, oh my goodness, excuse me, it's been a long, long week. I don't know if Obscurious would be considered creatures, but they're pretty fucking cool. Really sad, but cool.
It's very sad, but yeah, also an interesting concept that I think will be a huge overarching theme later on.
Yes, I definitely think we'll see more of it. You guys have heard us say it, but we're pretty sure that Dumbledore's younger sister, Ariana, is an Obscurus. So we have some additional predictions and some things that we're super excited for. We have mentioned our major predictions in an episode a couple weeks ago. I don't know which one it is, so you'll have to listen to all of them and find out. But based on kind of what we know, what's been tweeted, and then the rest of the clips that have been dropped, there are some new things that we want to include for you guys so that you're totally prepped and ready to see us be right.
Yeah. So one that I came across that some people are talking about it like a theory, some people are talking about it like a fact. So, but I think it's just still a theory. I don't think really people know what the fuck to talk about. Basically, it's the theory that Credence is the half-brother of Leta Lestrange. And there are a couple things that show this in some of the clips that have dropped that I think are very telling. So young Dumbledore is looking at, I don't know, it's like some kind of wall, but it's like got a projection of some mm-hmm. kind, like a magical projection of a family tree. And Credence Lestrange is on the Lestrange family tree. So that's a big mm-hmm. one. And also the head of the Lestrange family, his name's like, I forget what it is, but it's like C. Lestrange. I forget the actual first name. Corvus mm-hmm. Lestrange. And it's Corvus Lestrange Sr., but he doesn't have a son. So that we know of yet. So I could think it's Credence.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There is, we talk about Potterotica podcasts all the time because they're awesome. Mm-hmm. Potterotica podcast obviously is doing a Grindelwald's Dumbledore themed season mm-hmm. right now. One, they've been using the Grindelwald's first name, which is Gellar, which I didn't know it was Gellar until today.
Really?
So I was like, who is this? Yeah. Nice. And there was something else. I can't remember it. That's okay though. Okay. Oh, So if that's true, then that means that all of these people are related to one of the very ancient headmasters of Hogwarts. Which they're like, who is this guy? But Phineas Black is actually the great, great, great grandfather of Sirius Black and Bellatrix and all those people. So,
yep.
So it's kind of cool.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's all connected. The Wizarding World is very small.
It is, for sure.
Very small.
Yeah. So do you want to do some of your predictions and then we get into what we're most excited for?
Yeah. So I think that we are going to see some of the Aberforth-Albus relationship, like pre-nose breaking. I think it's going to all be flashbacks, but I think we're going to get like clips of Dumbledore's childhood and then also some Ariana input, because there's no way that you can have an Obscurus running around fucking shit up and not touch on his sister.
True.
I think. I also think we're going to get, like, Newt and Leta Lestrange's relationship fleshed out a little bit. I hate her already.
Same.
Like, poor Newt.
Yeah.
And Queenie says it. Like, she obviously knows all about it. And the only thing she says is that, like, she's a taker and you need a giver.
Yeah.
So, blah. And then I also think we're going to see some Newt family drama. We already know his brothers in the movie, because we've seen his brothers in the trailers. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't like his brother. So something's happened there. I think, I'm pretty sure his brother marries
Leta.
Someone he liked. Yeah.
I think he
I think he either marries Leta or someone that Newt had a crush on in some capacity.
I'm pretty sure it's Leta.
So those are my like added supplemented slight predictions on stuff.
So what are you most excited for?
I'm most excited for Nagini.
Yeah.
And young Dumbledore, because there's just so much that we don't know about Dumbledore. And despite him having a ton of page time in Harry Potter, we know very little about him.
We really do, yeah.
Like, we know his favorite candy, and that's only because he only uses candy for passwords. So yeah. I'm very, very excited to get to see young Dumbledore, see him in a non-headmaster capacity.
Yeah.
Because I think it was very different as just a professor and even pre-professor era. I think, at least in this movie, we get him at his professor level.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited to see the whole how Dumbledore Grindelwald plays out. I don't know how much Dumbledore Grindelwald history we're actually going to get, though.
Yeah, I think they'll save a lot of that for later.
So I'm thinking that the third movie is going to be like the whole young Dumbledore, young Grindelwald, they meet, like what happens.
Yeah.
And then the fourth movie is going to start where the second movie ends. That's what I think.
Interesting. I definitely don't think that we're going to get as much of Dumbledore and Grindelwald as we want in this one. I think it'll be later on. But the idea of like doing like a whole like flashback movie is interesting. That is interesting.
I like that. Yeah, make it like Star Wars where they're just all out of order. But just, I know that the later in the series, it gets the harder and harder it's going to be to put all that information in. But I don't think that they can do this series and not... Like, I don't think that flashbacks every movie is going to be enough to encompass what happened.
Yeah, probably not. Which is kind of interesting.
It goes on for years.
Yeah.
The Dumbledore Grindelwald thing goes on for decades.
Yeah.
And then it comes to fruition in this next movie.
Yeah.
So, or, I mean, maybe they'll cut it off before it actually gets there, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean... Yeah, it's interesting. I am surprised that they started it this late, I guess, because, yeah, Grindelwald already has the Elder Wand. We see it in the previews for this movie, so interesting. But
although he doesn't have it in the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them,
right.
So maybe he gets it. I think he gets it this movie. I don't think he has it yet, though.
No, like in the previews, I was talking about for the previews of The Crimes of Grindelwald, we see it. But
yeah, so I think he does. I think he gets it, or he will end up somehow coming into power with it. I don't know who had it before him, though.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I guess we'll figure it out, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But I am definitely most excited for young Dumbledore, and I'm very interested to see how they do young McGonagall.
I hope that she gets, like, screen time. I'm hoping it's not just, like, a mention in passing, because I don't know that there's ever going to be other opportunities beyond this series to have young McGonagall.
Yeah.
Like I don't see them doing more Harry Potter world movies after this series. These five movies will take, I would say, no less than a decade to put out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, every 2 years is pretty standard for movie releases with stuff like this, or every year and a half or so. When did Fantastic Beasts come out?
I think, like, November 2 years ago, but I'm not 100%. I think November 2 years ago, though.
Fantastic Beasts, the film series, came out in 2016.
Yep.
November 10th of 2016. So it's been exactly 2 years.
Look at
me. If they do it every 2 years, like, that's a decade. Yeah. You know, JK's not going to be putting out movies for that much longer. And I really don't think that they should be writing any movies after she dies.
No, I agree.
Whew. Now, unless she, like, just writes a bunch of stuff and then archives it, which I could see her doing.
Which I'd be okay with, but yeah.
I'd be cool with that. Release it every 2 years until I die, too. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yep, I'm good with that.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm very interested to see where they can plug young McGonagall. I'm hoping that they don't try and get her, like, twisted up in the Grindelwald-Dumbledore relationship.
Yeah.
Obviously, McGonagall is an advocate and a friend of Dumbledore, but as a student, maybe she just hates people. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be, at least in this movie, more of a mention.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know how she's going to fit into this. I really don't.
I don't know.
So we'll see, I guess.
There's a lot of potential. I feel like this movie has more potential than Fantastic Beasts did.
I agree.
And I don't know that I already love the characters, because obviously we know of the characters much older and very different. Obviously young Dumbledore, old Dumbledore, two totally different people.
Yeah.
But I know that I like the people they become, and right. I want them to really expand on these relationships that we've seen the very tail end of.
Yeah.
And give us an idea of what it's like, because part of the reason that we love the trio so much is because we know about them from a young age.
Right.
We see their evolution. So I want to see the beginnings of all these characters. And I'm very excited for that. So.
I agree. I'm super stoked. And I do hope we get to see at least a little bit of McGonagall development. Mm-hmm. Maybe it comes in because her father's a muggle and she falls in love with a muggle when she's younger. Maybe it has that kind of something like that, something element with that. I feel like it might be.
Yes, but then also she lives in a place where it's fine to be with a muggle.
Well, it's fine, but not for Grindelwald. So maybe there's some tension with that. Maybe that's how they're going to bring her in. I'm not really sure. I'm guessing.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. I just feel like those are details that could fit into the story more than just her randomly being there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with her timeline continuity with this whole thing.
Me too. I'm very concerned.
Yeah. This is one thing that's going to happen. Enough. Like, how much after... Well, McGonagall was born in 1935.
Yeah.
She's born in 35. Isn't this movie set in, like, 1927?
Right, which is my concern. I'm very concerned because I don't want them to just move up the timeline, like, fuck up her timeline just to put McGonagall in the movie. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, she wouldn't have even been born when it was set.
I know. That's why I keep saying I'm concerned. Yeah. So I'm hoping... Maybe she's, like, mentioned at the tail end. Like, maybe this movie is going to span over, like, some years.
Maybe.
I don't know either.
We'll see. Well, I mean, it has to span over somewhat because we've seen scenes that make it look like World War One is happening.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait. I am not seeing it Friday. I'm a little upset about that, but I'm seeing it on Tuesday with, like, a group of, like, 10 people.
I don't have tickets for it yet. I'm trying to convince Harry to go watch it with me. As a reminder, guys, my boyfriend's name is Harry. I'm not going with Harry Potter. It'd be way cool if I was going with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But I am trying to see it. Again, guys, if you see it and you spoil it, I will hunt you down. And I'm a scary individual.
Yeah, she is. She's a Slytherin. Don't mess with her.
I'm a scary individual. But that's probably going to wrap up this episode because I feel like we're just going down a rabbit hole with this whole McGonagall thing. Timeline continuity is so important, guys.
Yeah, it is.
There is no reason to mess it up. You have 5 movies. You could easily get McGonagall in there later on. Maybe we don't meet McGonagall. Maybe we meet one of McGonagall's parents.
Well, no, I think it specifically said that it's Minerva McGonagall.
Where did you see this?
It was an article. I can't remember where it was, but it was talking about the actress who was playing her. Like, it was in the script of characters, Minerva McGonagall, and it's an Irish actress, but I can't remember her name. But
maybe we'll have a flash forward.
That's what I'm thinking.
I hope so. But anyways, as per usual, we don't know how to wrap up episodes. You can always reach us with your comments, questions, opinions, and feedback on Twitter, Instagram, or by email. You can reach us on Twitter at Lumos Maxima Pod, on Instagram at Lumos Maxima Podcast, and at lumosmaximapodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us long stuff, we would adore it if you would rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. We actually hit 600 plays this morning, which is crazy, crazy. I don't know who's listening to our episodes that many times, but that's cool. I listen to them maybe once, like if I'm editing. We will give you a brief rating of the movie after we've both seen it. Like, yeah, we loved it, or no, we didn't love it. Yeah. However, we are not going to be giving any spoilers or any Crimes of Grindelwald related episodes for at least 6 months.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe not quite that long. Like, we're going to give everyone plenty of time to see it. Like, we might even, you'll be able to get it at like Redbox before we talk about it.
Probably.
We love making podcasts. We love making podcasts that you care about, though. If you have content or episode ideas, let us know. You can reach us anytime on social media. We love interacting with our listeners, and we love getting feedback from you guys. So if you do decide to rate and subscribe, you should also review, unless you're on Spotify, because apparently you can't review on Spotify.
So weird.
But if you listen on Apple Podcasts, drop us 5 stars and a good note, because we want to know what you think.
For sure.
We have no clue what next week's episode is going to be. How many times can I say that? Every single episode I say I don't know what's going to be. But it will not be Fantastic Beasts related.
Nope, we will not.
That is all I know. We might do like something creepy and dark, like death in Harry Potter. Because I've been wanting to talk about Sirius for a while.
Oh, God. So, Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We will catch you next week. Remember to check in on our social medias to find out and answer any polls that we're doing or to submit content. And that's it.
Yeah.
This is where I would do some clever outro.
But we don't have to.
But we don't know how to. And that's okay. So thanks and bye.
Bye.